whole wide world, you.
So if you're looking for faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions, tune in to Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the story of a little girl who thinks the world is against her and walks around with a perpetual scowl on her face. Stay tuned to find out the secret of the magic mirror, how it changes your outlook. Stay tuned for a lesson for all of us today on another Stories from the Heart. The sunbeams came dancing into the little room where Rosina lay asleep. "Oh, dear," she grumbled. "I wish it wasn't time to get up." But it was. The sunbeams said that quite decidedly, and so did her mother's voice from the kitchen. "Come, be quick," her mother said. "There's the water to be fetched, the breakfast to set, and the baby is just waking." Now, Rosina had a rather pretty face when it was clean and smiling, and when she smiled, she showed a row of even white teeth like little pearls. But that was only when she was clean and smiling. And this morning she was neither. Her mouth was so cross that both corners turned downwards, and her eyes could scarcely be seen under the black frown that puckered her forehead. She slipped into her clothes. "I wish I had shoes and stockings," she said, "and beautiful clothes and no work to do." Her mother looked up as Rosina came slowly into the kitchen and, most unwillingly, lifted the copper pot which was waiting to be filled at the well. "I wish you could look a little more cheerful," she said. "It's no pleasure to look at such a face." "I'm always being scolded," muttered Rosina to herself. It did not improve her temper to have that heavy water pot to carry, and by the time she had carried it back with aching arms, the frown on her face was blacker than ever. "Here, take the baby," said her mother, "while I make breakfast." The baby had been gurgling and smiling, but meeting Rosina's black looks, he changed his mind and began to cry and to cling tightly to his mother. "Baby," Rosina said, slapping his hands, "I am sure I don't want to hold you either." And at breakfast, she was sure her cup of milk was the smallest and her piece of bread the hardest, and while she looked discontentedly at it, her brother Tommaso snatched it and tried to break off a piece. She flew in angrily and in a rage knocked over her cup of milk and broke the cup. The busy mother did not stop to ask who was to blame, but she cuffed Tommaso and shook Rosina and bade them both be off to school if they could not behave peaceably at home. "Cross patch," said Tommaso, "you can walk by yourself." Rosina wandered along in sullen silence. She never lifted her eyes from the gray, dusty pathway. Knots of pink roses, her namesake, nodded to her from the hedges, but all she saw was a gray, dusty pathway and rough stones. "Everyone is hard and cruel to me," she sighed. "Nobody loves me." She was so very sorry for herself that she actually managed to squeeze out two big tears, which rolled down her cheeks and made a clean pathway on either side. It was a cruel and unfair world, she thought. Someday all this unkindness would kill her, and she would lie with crossed hands under a wreath of white flowers, and they would all be sorry and beg to be forgiven. But it was too late. She was just planning out the sad scene in her mind and refusing to come to life again, in spite of all their prayers, when the school bell sounded in the distance. Now, Rosina was not a greater favorite at school than she was at home. She was always looking out for unkindness, and somehow she always found it. Even the good sister, who smiled so cheerfully on everyone else, and who was so patient and kind, was hard on her, hard and unjust, Rosina was sure. Well, she was so busy feeling sorry for herself that she could not learn her lessons, and had nothing to say when her turn came and she stood before the sister. All the rest of the children had done their lessons so well that they were to have a story as a reward. But Rosina was told to sit apart from the rest on a distant bench and learn her lessons all over again. It was only on very special occasions that the sister would tell them one of her stories, and Rosina thought it was cruelly hard that she, who loved stories better than anything else, should be set to learn her lessons while all the others were enjoying themselves. It was a beautiful story. She listened with all her might, and as no one seemed to notice, she crept closer and closer to listen with the rest. Of course, the sister was saying, everyone wanted to look into the magic mirror, because, you see, it held in a silver heart the gift of happiness. But for those who dimmed the shining surface with cross and unkind looks, the mirror held only sorrow and tears. The gift was ready for each one, and those who had learned the secret found something so wonderful in the shining silver depths that for them the whole world was full of sunshine, and they were as happy as the day was long. "But where can we find the magic mirror?" asked Rosina eagerly. "The story is not for you today," said the sister quietly. "Take your book and learn your lessons outside." "No one is ever kind to me," she said gloomily. "I wish there was really a magic mirror. I expect it would be easy enough to learn the secret, and then I would be happy all day long, and no one would be horrid and unkind and unfair to me any more. Now, where could that mirror be found?" The other children were all gone when Rosina stood beside the sister's chair and said her lessons, and after she had finished, asked the sister, "Will you tell me where to look for the magic mirror?" "It is much more important to learn the secret," said the sister. "The mirror is so easily dimmed that it is wiser to bring it only a shining face. Try, first of all, how to keep a shining face." Rosina walked slowly home, thinking deeply, and she arrived so late that a scolding was awaiting her instead of her dinner. "Late again," said her mother. "I am tired of waiting for you. Be quick, fetch the water." Rosina lifted the copper pot and with a very clouded face went down to the well. She leaned idly over the side and looked down into the clear water below before she began to turn the handle. Then she peered down again in great excitement. Could it be that the magic mirror was gleaming down there? If only she could win the golden gift. She almost overbalanced herself as she leaned over to see down more distinctly, her heels in the air. Yes, it was certainly a clear, shining silver mirror. And what was that looking up at her from its depths? A very cross, sullen little face with a tangled mop of curly hair. "Why, it's just me," said Rosina, bitterly disappointed. "I'll go and see Nona," she said to herself. "She knows about everything and will be able to tell me where to find the magic mirror." Her grandmother was sitting plaiting straw near the doorway of her little house when Rosina came slowly up and stood by her side. The old woman laid the straw aside and put her shriveled, toil-worn hand under Rosina's chin and looked searchingly into her face. "Let me see," she said. "You have found the world an unpleasant place today. No one has smiled at you." "Oh, Nona, do you know the secret of the magic mirror?" "Gently, gently. Tell me first about the magic mirror." "Ah," she said, nodding her head, when Rosina had told her all that she had heard of the sister's story. "I want to find it at once," said Rosina, "for I am so tired of being unhappy. At first I thought it was hidden in our well." "And what did you see down there?" asked her grandmother. "Only myself," said Rosina. "Was it a pleasant picture?" the old woman asked. "No," said Rosina slowly. "Ah," said the grandmother, "it is as I thought. It was lucky for you that it was not the magic mirror. You must learn to have a shining face first of all before setting out to seek the magic mirror. As soon as you can see a pleasant, shining face looking up at you from below, come back and tell me, and perhaps I will tell you the secret and help you find the magic mirror." "Oh, but," Rosina began. "That face will never do for the magic mirror now," she said. "Quick, put on a smile at once and try to brighten up." It was a rather crooked smile, which Rosina managed to call up. Now run away home and see that there is nothing you can do to help your mother. It is idle people who find it most difficult to smile. And it did really seem as if her grandmother was right. For when Rosina had run home and had swept up the floor and washed the plates, it did not seem nearly so difficult to smile at the baby, and he held his arms out to her. It was really wonderful how much happier she felt. When her mother left the washtub and came wearily in, it was to find a tidy kitchen. "Oh, you're a good child," she said to Rosina. "Give the baby to me now, and I will fetch the water tonight." "Oh, no," said Rosina cheerfully. "I want to go to the well." She put down the water pot and hung cautiously over and looked down into the shining depth beneath. "It is a little pleasanter," she said, "but it's not very bright yet. I shall have to practice more." But from now on, she would allow no one else to fetch the water, and each day as she went to the well, she anxiously looked down to see if her face was growing fit yet for the magic mirror. Of course, there were many times when the clouds came down and hid all the sunshine, and her face looked gloomy as ever, but each time she chased the clouds away. Her mother's smile was pleasant to seek now, and strangely enough, the work did not seem half as hard. It was a nice, sunshiny world. Everyone was now kind to her, and she was very happy. Then a thought struck her one day as she sat at the edge of the well. Could it be, after all, it was a magic mirror she had seen down there? Where else could all this happiness have come from? She would go that very afternoon and ask her grandmother if it could be so. The sun was shining through the silver leaves of the olive trees and flecking with tiny rings of gold. Again her grandmother held the child's face between her hands and looked at it intently. "The world is full of sunshine for you today," she said. "Everyone smiles on you. Work is easy, and you are happy as the day is long." "It is a magic secret again," said Rosina. "Oh, Nona, I have come to ask you to tell me what the secret is." The old woman sat silently for a few moments. "I will try to tell you the secret," she said, "and you must try to understand. The name of the magic mirror is Life, and it does indeed hold its shining heart the gift of happiness or sorrow to each of us, and its secret is not far to seek. Whenever we bring to the magic mirror, that is the thing which it reflects and gives back to us. If we bring smiles, we are met by smiles. If we hold out kindly helping hands will be held out to clasp ours. If we bring love, we shall receive love, which is the greatest gift of all." Rosina puckered up her brow in thoughtful silence. "I see," she said at length. "It is not really magic at all. It's just ourselves." Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, The Magic Mirror, was written by Amy Stedman from her book, Madonna of the Goldfinch. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email sandra@avemariaradio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to avemariaradio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to avemariaradio.net.
At Ann Arbor State Bank, we share the Ann Arbor state of mind with you. We're rolling up our sleeves to help local home buyers and homeowners borrow money and refinance. At Ann Arbor State Bank, we have the money to lend and the will to lend it. A personal visit with our seasoned mortgage officers can improve your financial situation and unlock your Ann Arbor state of mind. Ann Arbor State Bank, your personal bank. Located at 125 West William, downtown Ann Arbor, or a2sb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio. I am Father Thomas Loya, and this week on Light of the East on Ave Maria, we will immerse